And it's time for our weekly visit with the network analyst covering Sunday's game between the Browns and the Ravens. And yeah, he's back for a third consecutive appearance here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And we're very pleased by that. You are going to, you're basically carving out a regular segment with us, Steve. But Steve Tasker, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I've enjoyed my games with the Browns. They're a good bunch of guys.
Yeah, so you've gotten a good look at this team, and you and Bill McAtee, who will be your partner in the CBS booth on Sunday. Give me your takeaway now that you've seen the Browns in three consecutive games from the standpoint of, and it's hard to say this when the record in that stretch is 1-2, but it does seem as if we've seen substantive improvement on offense.
Yeah, they're getting better. I think it's because their run game improved. Obanaya, started to play well. He was very early in his career, in his time there in Cleveland. The first time we got him, he didn't, he just hadn't been there long enough to play very well, and they didn't ask him to do very much. And then he started to play a lot better in that second game. And then and this last week when you got Hillis back, I mean, that changed everything. Hillis is a, is a battering ram. Obanaya had some good plays out of the backfield as a complimentary to him, And you might even get Hardesty back this week. So, those guys, you went from, being real thin at running back to getting a pretty good guy off the waiver wire that's playing pretty well, and then all of a sudden now you've got a super committee, working over there. So, it really helped. I think Colt McCoy, no question about it. It helped everybody because the offense can stay on the field, make some first downs. The opening drive last week was a nice monkey to get off their back to actually score on their first drive for the first time this season, score a touchdown anyway. And they are improving. They've got a ways to go, but certainly there's some significant progress.
And Steve, you've seen when we spoke, I think the first time that you were before the first Browns game you were doing, which was the Jacksonville game, and you were talking about the teams losing games more than winning them. And in the case of the Browns, that's what you were seeing then. And that's a mindset. It's a maturity. It's a whatever. It's a mental thing. What are you seeing from this team as you've watched them now through these three games? Is there another game that they lost? That was the case against Cincinnati. But has that paradigm shifted at all?
Well, I think it's becoming more obvious that they're good enough to win these games. I think people had their doubts early on, even though in these last few games, the St. Louis game, the Jacksonville game, and certainly the Bengals game, where it came down to the last play, should prove to those and to Cleveland fans that they're building meticulously and slowly, no question. I think Browns fans are pretty impatient, but this is a team that's doing the right things. They've got some pieces in place. It'll be interesting to see if they can keep the quality pieces they have and add to them next year. But I think at this point, too, the big question is Colt McCoy. And I think at this point, with the guys they've got, with the quarterback they've got at, rather, I think he ceases to be the big problem. I think they need some help defensively. They need a better pass rush, although I like Phil Taylor and Sheard. Mm-hmm. Ataba Rubin's having a sensational season. So they've got some guys up front that they can work around. I think Fujita hurts them losing him. But there's no question I think they need some bigger, faster guys in the back end, in the linebacking core and stuff. I think there's no question that quarterback is no longer a glaring need. The problem is this. Even if it wasn't, this draft coming up is rich in really quality, very promising quarterbacks, starting with Andrew Luck and going down the line. So, right. Barkley out in USC, if he comes out, which I think he probably will, there's some guys coming out that are pretty good. So I don't know that even if you don't need one right away, that you don't take one of those guys if you're the Cleveland Browns, if one of them drops to you.
As well as you've gotten to know this team, Steve, how do you think they handle it psychologically, losing that kind of game, rivalry team, the Bengals, and emotions are going to be raw no matter what. But in a game where you look so commanding early on, and it looks like it's yours to take 10-point leads twice, including the third quarter. So where do you see their ability to get, once again, go through a week of practice, kind of suppress what the damaging effect of that, and say, okay, we're ready to take on the Ravens?
Yeah, I mean, that's a huge issue, because I think those are the toughest things to take, the ones where you miss opportunities, because you realize as a player, those opportunities are never going to come back again. I mean, you think about the things that have happened in the last few weeks, and, you know, this is a team that's, you know, thinking they should be 6-5 now. And they have every reason to think they should be, but they're not. And that's the most disappointing thing. You got another 5 games to play, and, you know, you're looking on the outside looking in again. And that's the frustrating thing about it, particularly when you know now that you're good enough to win games like that. Now, you look across the field at Cincinnati, and that's the way they've operated all year. They have not lost any games. They haven't won every single all their games, but they haven't lost any.
Right.
The other teams have lost to them, and they've gotten some victories in games they had no business winning, because they never gave one away. And now Cleveland's sitting on the other side, and in the last month you've given away at least 2.
Right.
So that's the frustrating thing for players. You got to go continue to battle, knowing that those opportunities are lost, and it really killed your season because of you, not because of your opponents.
Right. Steve Tasker from CBS Sports. He will be on Sunday's call of the Browns-Ravens game with Bill McAtee. This will be Steve's 3rd consecutive look at the Browns up close. And your 2nd look at the Ravens, you had their earlier season game against the Tennessee Titans. Give me some perspective on this team, as always looking very intimidating and dominant on defense, Steve. What else are you seeing from this Ravens team? Or what are you seeing of this defense that just gives you a sense that, you know, they're playing at that high level, contending level?
Yeah, they are, and they're playing extremely well now. But you know, the thing that Cleveland has going for it. I mean, you look at they got a big win opening day against Pittsburgh. The next week they lost to the Tennessee Titans. Then they got an enormous win over Houston in Week 6, and both those teams were looking great. And then the next week, Baltimore lost to Jacksonville. Following that on a Monday night, then they got a big win versus Pittsburgh on November 6th, and lost to Seattle the next week. So they got a big win, no question. It was an enormous win on Thanksgiving Day against San Francisco in the Harbaugh Bowl. And Cleveland's up next. If things go like they have this season, Cleveland should win this game against the Baltimore team that's playing really well. No guarantees, though. You can't go into this game as a Cleveland Brown or fan or a player for sure thinking that Baltimore's not going to show up. If Baltimore stays balanced, they're really tough to beat, balanced offensively. I mean, if Ray Rice can be productive, that takes the pressure off Joe Flacco. They only threw the football 23 times against San Francisco, and he completed 15 of them. So if they can do that, if Cleveland allows them to do that, it's going to be a long, long day. Flacco has never lost to Cleveland as a starting quarterback.
Right.
So you've got that battle as well. He's thrown 8 touchdowns and given up only 3 interceptions. So. And the Browns have to cover for Scott Fujita losing him. So there's a lot of things. This is a playoff team that Cleveland's playing. It'll be a measuring stick for them to see how good they can play against these guys. They've got them at home. Colt McCoy is going to be in there. He's going to start. He's completing a lot of his passes. And I tell you, he gets a lot of drops against him, which he's fighting. You know, his receivers are dropping the ball all over the place.
Yeah.
They've got Hillis back. They've got Montario Hardesty back. And Obanaya is a great find for them. I think he's a huge gift off the waiver wire at a time when they really needed somebody. Obanaya has showed up and played extremely well. So Cleveland is going to try to run the football. I think they can get it done to a certain extent. If they can stay balanced, it's going to be a close game. But there's no question the quality of Baltimore's defense, they expect to carry the day.
Well, you know, when you look at the Ravens, the first thought that will come to mind, and especially that Thanksgiving night game, 9 sacks in that game, 3 by Terrell Suggs. And the only saving grace, I think, when you look at Suggs, is that Joe Thomas is lined up across from him. That you would figure you've got a chance to keep him from going off again on Colt McCoy because of Thomas. But that is no guarantee, because Suggs is really cranked it up, playing at a high level. And let's face it, he's not the only concern, because other guys accounted for the 6 other sacks they got against San Francisco.
Right, plus they can move Suggs over to the left side and put him against defensive left side and put him against Pashos as well. I mean, they can move him around. In a 3-4, they'll do that with, you know, Terrence Cody and Haloti Ngata inside with Corey Redding. I mean, they've got three big bodies down inside that'll collapse the pocket. And as much as anything, and it is a good effort by Suggs, but a lot of times it's the pocket collapsing back into the lap of the quarterback from the middle that allows those guys on the outside to come in and get sacks. They flush the quarterback from the inside out, and that's dangerous. And if those three big bodies inside can do that, it's going to make it easier. But make no mistake, you know, Baltimore it was pretty good in this game without Ray Lewis. And I'm not, you know, just between you and me and whoever listeners are there in Cleveland, you know, they're doing some things in coverage these days to cover for Ray Lewis. I mean, the guy's been in there 14 years, right. And when they drop back into coverage, Ray isn't the same player he was when he was young.
Right.
Now, in the run, Ray's there early because he knows what's going on. He just gets there fast. But in pass coverage, Ray sometimes is a liability that Baltimore secondary has to cover for. They cover for him a little bit in the way they call their defenses these days. But he may be back in there nonetheless. And whether that hurts or helps the Browns is going to be up to Colt McCoy and the receivers to make happen.
Steve, one thing before I let you go, because you are special teams is of course, your thing, and it's in your bailiwick. The Browns make a significant change. Ryan Pompreon, who had been their long snapper since 2003, is out. He gets cut this week. They bring in Christian Yount to take over. He had some time with Tampa Bay. When you're changing that part of the operation, of the field goal operation, of the long snap operation this late in the season, what sort of things can we expect from that?
Well, I think you'll probably see an improvement. I mean, Pombrian was doing some good things. He was a good snapper. One of the missed snaps in the St. Louis game hit the guard, although, you know, you got to throw the thing back there exactly like you do every other time, and I don't think he did on that time. Then he rolled the one back on the long point. That was a long attempt, but you got to have the perfect operation for Dawson when he's going to try a 55-yarder to win it or 54-yarder to win it. But it's not a surprise because it should not affect anything in the operation because once Yount lets it go in the snap, if it's a good snap, everything else is exactly the same as it's always been. It's not like it's going to have a tremendously different amount of velocity, even if it's more or less than what he was used to with Pompreon. But I don't think there's any question Maynard will have no issues with the snaps or anything. I mean, Yount is not a left-handed snapper. I mean, the ball's going to come back there, spin in the same direction. So, you know, everything should be par for the course. When you change snappers, it's not as bad as changing holders. The holder's the key guy.
Okay. Well, great stuff. I knew you'd get right to the heart of that because that, again, that's your thing. Steve, we appreciate it, and we look forward to seeing you on Sunday once again. Again, all your analysis and depth is always great because you're becoming you're pretty much on the Browns beat these days. Let's face it, man.
Yeah. Well, I don't have a problem with that. I enjoy Pat Shurmur and the coaching staff, and those players are great guys to work with. And I talked to Mike Holmgren as well. And the Browns are building it, and they're doing it the right way. It may take more time than the Browns fans want to give it, but they're making all the right decisions for all the right reasons, and it'll be fun to watch it come to fruition.
All right. See you Sunday, brother.
All right, man. Talk to you.
He is Steve Tasker from CBS Sports. He'll be on the call for Sunday's game with Bill McAtee between the Browns and Ravens. We've got much more coming up on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford and brought to you by Madden NFL 12 in stores now. EA Sports, it's in the game.